Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, let's get it going on a Monday. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, you saw it yesterday. You heard it again right there in the montage. 14-7, the Bills defeat the Tennessee Titans. And we got a lot to get to today on the show, boys. The head coach, the offensive line, the kicker, the punt returner, the organization as a whole. just a total absolute debacle. And you allowed it to happen again. They tightened again. For the third time in 5 years, they lost to a wretched franchise that has scored 15, 14, and 13 points. A quarterback who was in protocol all week and a pass rush that was non-existent. As you can tell, I'm a little fired up this morning.
Yeah, I love it.
Pissed
dude.
Off this morning.
I love it.
You allowed a pass rush that was non-existent to look like Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, and Bruce Smith yesterday. But I digress. Happy Monday.
Welcome
to the show, everybody.
Yeah, hey, everyone. How you doing?
Well done, Kale.
That game was just a microcosm of what the Titans have been, what they continue to be, and hopefully hopefully they change it, but if they don't, this is what they're going to continue to be. This is a team that relies too heavy on their defense. They got a good defense, but they rely too heavy on their defense. They have no imagination when it comes to the play calls on a consistent basis. I'm not saying every time, but on a consistent basis, they have no creativity. I think for defenses, it's easy to game plan against the Tennessee Titans. I said this to TD when we were in the booth yesterday, and this was pertaining to the defenses. I said the difference between the Titans' defense and the Bills' defense. I said the Titans got a really good defense, but they don't intimidate you. They don't scare you. They just got a really good defense. Guys that do what they're supposed to do, they're in the right place. They're, from a schematic standpoint, Dean Pease does a really good job. And those are some smart guys. And they're 99% of the time, they're in the right place, doing the right thing. I said the Bills' defense, I said they're good, they're intimidating, and they're nasty. That's just what they are. And they're very smart. That's the difference between the Tennessee Titans' defense and the Buffalo Bills' defense. There was never a moment in that game where I thought the Tennessee Titans ever had a grip on what was going on. There was no point in the game. I just thought, for some reason, because of the way the Bills' defense was playing, and granted, Titans' defense was playing good too, but the way the Bills' defense was playing and how intimidating they were, Titans didn't have a chance at winning that game. And for all of those that said, Taylor Lewan, when he come back, it will fix the offensive line's woes. Well, think again. Marcus is going to end up getting hurt again. He is. He's been hit too many times.
It's virtually a miracle that he's not already. It's also virtually a miracle that Marcus Mariota hasn't turned the football over yet. 22 sacks in 5 games.
He almost had one and got tipped.
22 sacks in 5 games, and he has not turned the football over one time. Marcus is, we don't even have to talk about Marcus today. This reminded me of the Colts game to some degree, in that you had obvious,
and the Colts win too.
You had obvious opportunities to win the game. Even through all the things that you're saying, Derek, which are true, there were obvious opportunities to win the game. Let me give you guys, and this is from our esteemed colleague here, Calvin Smith at 102.5 The Game. The Titans, when they are in a situation when they must gain 3, 4, or 5 yards for a first down, this year, it's a 75% success rate play. So the Titans get the first down 3 out of 4 times when they run that play, when they need 3, 4, or 5 yards to get a first down. Meanwhile, Cairo Santos was 0-for-3, and Mike Vrabel, once again, 3 out of 4 games now, three games in a row now, has made sort of a mind-boggling decision on fourth down. His Marcus's pass catchers yesterday dropped multiple passes. I think 5 total drops yesterday, 3 of which would have come on third down. At least 2 would have given them the first down, Delanie Walker and Deion Lewis most notably. The offensive line can't block anybody. Taylor Lewan is being called out by the Bills in the locker room after the game. This was special teams mistake again. Like, you just this one felt different than maybe even the Jacksonville game, where you go, all right, we're on the road, they're inspired, it's a Thursday night, it's a short week, their defensive line is really great. All right, you didn't play well, but okay, fine, whatever. You know, the Colts, you had the lead, you're going into to the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game and the lead, and then a couple of mistakes and you lose the game. This was sort of just mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. 2 touchdowns called back, including a mistake by the quarterback who was a fraction of an inch across the line. To me, this was about mistakes. This was about this was not a tightly run, organized game by the Titans and Mike Vrabel in particular. And that is now the 3rd time in 3 weeks that we can say, Mike Vrabel, what were you thinking on a particular call? This was about mistakes and self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, all the things you said, Derek, are true. They still could have won the football game. They still had chances to win the game. They gave up the 1 long play to the Bills that ended up, you know, leading to the game-winning score. But you had the lead twice. It was called back. You missed 4 field goals. You gave up 5 sacks. You dropped 5 passes. You can't – all of those things taken together, you're not going to win many football games like that.
This organization should be ashamed. I'm not even joking. Like, if I was Amy Adams Strunk, like, I would be talking to individuals this morning like, what in the world is going on? You are the – if there's one thing the Tennessee Titans are, is they are consistently inconsistent. One of the most Jekyll and Hyde franchises I can ever recall having to watch on a week-in and week-out basis, where they can look so good at times – and yet so god-awful at other times. And this morning, if I'm Mike Vrabel, if I'm John Robinson, somebody's got to go. I either need to fire Cairo Santos and cut him this morning to send a message. I need to fire Keith Richards, Keith Carter. Might as well be offensive line, be Keith Richards, the way they block. Somebody's got to go this morning.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yes.
Either
Santos or Carter's got to go.
Well, here's the thing. I'll push back on the inconsistency thing. I think the Bills are very, very good on defense. So I think...
Yeah, they held Brady to 16. They're a good D.
How did Atlanta look yesterday? You know, like Atlanta gave up, 53 to Deshaun Watson? So I think the Titans, their performance last week against Atlanta was about the same as it was this week or the week before. They just happen to be playing the Falcons, who right now are a total dumpster fire. I think when they play against good defenses are going to beat them because their offensive line has shown through 5 weeks that they are who we thought they are, right? Like, they are not a good offensive line right now protecting the quarterback. They can run the ball a little bit, especially against a team that's not as good as Buffalo.
They ran the ball well against Buffalo.
Well, 3.8 yards a carry. It was solid, but for Buffalo standards, pretty good. They are a good run-blocking offensive line when you look at their skill set. They are a terrible pass-protecting line. And they've invested, $150 million in their offensive line? My issue is... My issue is, if you're going to go from good to great, Butch,
I don't want to hear that.
And you're going to give us a cliche that you're going to tag. You know, it's the year we go from good to great. Well, this is a good football team. They're 1 game out of the wild card. Their quarterback hasn't turned the ball over. They can run the ball. They've got a great defense. Like, these are all true things about this team. They're a good football team.
But you think they're a good team?
I think they're a good football team.
They're 2-3.
1-50. Yeah, they're 1 game out of the wild card. Look at everybody else.
That's more of the state of the AFC right now.
Maybe true, but again, I think they're a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team, clearly, because they cannot stop making dumb mistakes. The coach has made dumb mistakes. The kicker made mistakes yesterday. The receiving core made mistakes yesterday. The offensive line cannot protect its quarterback. You cannot miss opportunities to win games. They should have won the Colts game. They had a chance to win the game yesterday. And when you have chances to win games and you fail because you make mistakes, you are nowhere near a great team. I think they're a decent football team. 1-53, their roster's not terrible. It's a good roster. But you cannot make dumb, stupid mistakes and expect to win in the NFL consistently. And other teams that don't make those mistakes are going to beat you. And yesterday, to me, I've rattled off the list. Missed field goals, drop passes, touchdowns called back, bad coaching decisions. You put all that together, and you're just not even close. Not even close.
Well, then they're not a good team.
To going to green.
Yeah, they are just like their quarterback. They are an okay team amongst a bunch of okay teams. And what are they going to do to separate themselves from the pack? The quarterback, I'm going to start with the quarterback and kind of go down quickly. The quarterback, whereas he didn't throw any interceptions, and yes, he did get sacked, but he doesn't do anything that win you ball games. That was because Allen did. Say what you want to say about Allen. He made plays himself to win them that ball game.
Because he had time to throw on both drives.
I understand that. But
nobody touched him.
But there were times where he got pushed in the pocket. There were times he made mistakes. And I'm like, what are you throwing the ball for?
At one point, Allen was 17 for 21, which is like 81%.
Exactly. So he
a lot of short passes.
He didn't have this, you know, he had more time than Marcus, but he didn't have time. The Titans were getting to him too. But what he did was, when he did have time to throw the football, he made plays to win his team the game. It was because of him and that defense that they won games. Marcus didn't do that, and they need him to start doing that. When all else fails, even if he got to and I know we don't want him to run no more, and maybe he's a little gun-shy running, he got to start just getting out the pocket and doing some things on his own. He's going to have to because this offensive line, pass blocking, they're dismal. They are horrible. Many thought when Taylor Lewan came back, Saffo would get better. In what damn world? Why would people think that? I've always said, listen, if you are a pro, if you are supposed to be that good, it shouldn't take another man to make you back that much better. The only time that happens is if you're a wide receiver, you need a quarterback to throw you the ball. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of times, a quarterback needs time to throw the ball. But yet and still, when he does, he find a way to improvise and make plays. I've known quarterbacks that hadn't had any time in the pocket, and they've been able to deliver the ball. When you are a lineman, if they brought you in here and paid you all that damn money at the guard position, I shouldn't have to wait to my Pro Bowl left tackle to come back for you to be good. Oh, and then when he comes back, it seemed like he got worse.
$44 million for Saffold?
It's embarrassing.
I don't even want to talk about the quarterback today because he gave them 6 drives into the red zone into the scoring territory, and they missed 4 field goals. So the quarterback did his job. The quarterback got him into scoring territory. The quarterback made one big mistake by crossing the line of scrimmage, and the touchdown was called back. They had a 14-7 lead twice. Both of them were called back. His receivers dropped passes on 3rd and 3 in the red zone. Delaney dropped a pass on 3rd and 6. In the red zone, the coach, when they clearly should have gone for it, decided to kick a field goal that's 53 yards from 4 yards away. How about giving your quarterback the
chance
to make that play?
Maybe because he doesn't trust his quarterback in the pass catches.
Or he's clearly shown us he has no clue how to kick field goals and when to decide on 4th down because 3 games in a row he's made a dumb decision on 4th down in scoring territory. Listen, against that team in that game, there were 2 plays, basically. One drive where Josh Allen was completely untouched and went down the field and they scored their first touchdown. The other drive, Josh Allen made one big play. And otherwise, Marcus got his team into scoring territory, into plus territory, 6 times yesterday, and they came away with 1 touchdown. And none of those really were his fault. So I think the quarterback did his job yesterday. I think the defense did its job yesterday. There's a lot of people that did their job yesterday. The offensive line, the receiving core, the kicker, the coach are all the ones that did not.
Your reaction, Titans fans, 615-737-1025, 737-1025, the number. Here's what we have coming up this morning on the show. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 7 o'clock. David Ubben from The Athletic at 8:30 on The Vols from The Athletic. And then our buddy Darren McFarland will stop by at 9 o'clock on The Preds. The Titans lose. The Vols lose. Vandy loses. The Preds lose. It was a weekend from hell. How was your weekend, Nashville? We're back after this on Morning Drive.
You know, I think one Titans fan told me that his dad sold their season tickets because he said the ball was going to break their heart. And so we have to be better. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, there's nothing – I'm not saying anything that nobody else sees. Like, we have to be better. That's myself included, everybody. Like upstairs, coaches, players, everybody has to be better. And that's got to be consistent. And it can't be, oh, we lost. Well, let's be better. And then we win. And then we're like, oh, we're the greatest. It's got to stop. Yeah, it's getting out of hand.
That was Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan yesterday postgame in the locker room. Welcome back to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. 737-1025 is the phone number. We'll come to your calls coming up in just 1 second. But, Mace, you pointed out yesterday, because I refused to go to that game yesterday. Uh-huh. Management sent me a text throughout the week. Do you need a credential for the game on Sunday? I said, no, field goals are more aesthetically pleasing on television. I'll stay home this week.
How about missed field goals?
Yeah.
I was the same. I had the three-year-old's birthday party. Cake ceremony was at 3 p.m., so to avoid Titans traffic, because we live cutty. You have to kind of cross the Titans traffic river there to get to our neighborhood. And, we had the three-year-old birthday party, so no chance when I got the credential text. Nope. Got to take care of the three-year-old. She got a bike yesterday. big W for mom and dad. Felt great about that. We went from good to great yesterday. As parents,
at least somebody is.
No question.
Yeah. So you noticed something though yesterday.
Yeah. I'm driving in, and I got there about an hour. For me, I gauge the crowd on how quickly it takes me to get into the game, because last year there were some times where it took me a while to get in the game and I go in the game. What takes me a while to get across the bridge and everything, and I go in the game. I'm like, wow, okay, there's a lot of people here.
Eagles. Patriots.
Exactly. I'm like, man, it's a lot of people here. And there have been other games where it's take me like 10 minutes to get across the bridge, and I'm talking right before the game. I'm like, oh, here we go. Nobody's at the game. Yesterday, it was like in the middle. It wasn't a long time, but it wasn't a short amount of time. So I figure, okay, it's a good, decent amount of fans here. It's going to be. But then as you're driving across the bridge, the Shelby Bridge, I believe that is, you see the upper deck. And you really don't want to judge anything by looking at the upper deck because everybody's walking in. And I looked at the upper deck. There's two or three problems wrong here. And I had a friend text me yesterday that was trying to get in the game. They said, this is horrible. Hmm. Getting in this game. They said, is there another way to get in here quicker? I said, no. I said, unless you got a media credential, the answer is no.
Unless you have plans to build the new stadium.
Absolutely. No. So I got several phone calls. It's just hard to get in this game. I was like, okay. So I'm looking at the top deck, and I'm like, man, there's not a lot of people. I'm like, goodness, okay, this is a problem. So as I come down a Shelby Bridge, and I veer off to the right, and I come around to get to Lot M, I just see a throng of just blue and white. And, sometimes you can kind of get it mixed up with Titan colors a little bit, like the old colors.
Yeah.
And I started to look closer and closer, and I saw nothing but Bill jerseys, just like a throw. And so I text you, and I'm like, man, these Bills fans, they show up. Man, they travel. And as I'm going around, as I'm going up the street and around the corner, and I get closer and closer to the stadium, it's just, man, you would have thought it was a Bills home game. And you know what? That is damn embarrassing, okay? That is damn embarrassing. I know I got on this soapbox a couple of weeks ago, and I know it was hot, and people, oh, Derek, it was hot. And I even got an email about an individual, and I respect everyone's, if you got something to say, say it, and I respect it, and I understand it, but we move on. I agree to disagree, but we move on. But a lot of times, hey, listen, it's just my opinion, and my opinion alone. You have yours. We can agree to disagree, and we move on. Couple weeks ago, it was hot as Hades. So, yes, I can understand. Yesterday, there was no damn excuse. None whatsoever. The weather was mild. Yes, it was a little rain, but the weather was mild. You got your ponchos. The sun's not out.
Poncho.
And no one really showed up to that game. There were Bill fans. I commend the Bill fans. I really do. I wish we had a fan base like the Bills fan base.
They travel.
Because they travel. Oh, yeah. And you could say, well, the Bills been in 4 Super Bowls. That was like 58 years ago. Okay? 58 years ago, they went to 4 Super Bowls. All right? I think O.J. Simpson was on the team then.
Don't fact check that. It's just
goodness.
True.
Goodness. It's just true. You don't need to fact check.
Don't fact check.
None whatsoever. I understand they went to 4 straight Super Bowls. but they travel.
They travel to different time zones to jump through flaming tables.
Absolutely. They don't care if their team was horrible 2 years ago. They don't care if they can never beat the New England Patriots. But you know what? They show up and they show out. They attempt to jump on tables and fall flat on their face.
Broke his neck.
Exactly. And lay there lifeless while no one else.
He looks like he died. A guy died. A guy almost died yesterday trying to go to a Bills game.
While no one checks on him. Tight fans, listen, I know you guys and girls say, when the Titans start winning, I will come. I get I understand that logic. But listen, this team's here. They're a okay team. Can they be better fans? Yes. But this is your team. It shouldn't be in the fourth quarter where the game's 14-7 and it sounds like a Bills home game. It shouldn't sound like that. There's no excuse. I mean, no excuse. The weather was perfect from the standpoint of it wasn't hot. Now, I know it was raining. Raining. I get it. But the heat was not a factor.
Do you think the Bills fans even noticed that it rained yesterday?
They were drunk.
I don't think they even knew.
They still think Jim Kelly's the quarterback.
Exactly.
I'm with you on this, and we'll get to the calls here in just a second. But I am 100% done with the Titan fan who says, we know when they start slinging it all over the yard and winning 38-0, then I'll start showing up. What have Bills fans seen in the last 15 years?
Nothing.
A single playoff game in 15 years? They haven't been a good franchise in almost two decades, and yet they're buying all your tickets in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I realize Nashville as a city will always face this battle because everyone wants to circle Nashville as the road trip they're going to go on, right? Like, so I get that every other fan base is going to look at Nashville and say, that's the game we're going to go to. Let's buy as many tickets as we can. That's just a thing you're going to have to deal with. But you know what that has to, you know what that shouldn't inspire? You to be better and more supportive of your team. The idea that this team is largely competitive, has been a winning franchise for the last 3 years by definition, it's absurd to me. Now, and you could tell there was a false start penalty on the second play of the game because the crowd was so loud. For the Bills, that should never happen in your own stadium. That's like a college thing that happens, like when Nebraska takes over Colorado Stadium or Georgia takes over Notre Dame Stadium, like that. Georgia takes over Vanderbilt Stadium. That happens in college. It doesn't happen in the NFL. It's listen, I get it. Bills fans are great. I understand, but what have they had to cheer about for 15 years? So I'm done with the Titans fan who says, oh, when they give me a great product, I'll start showing up. No. If you love your team, you need to show up now because they're scrapping and clawing to try to get into a wild card. They're one game back of the wild card, guys. The season's not over. This is just one game filled with lots of mistakes, and they're going to be better next week or the second week after that. Who knows? But there's no reason not to be rooting for your team. And yesterday was an embarrassment. I agree, if you're a Titans fan.
615-737-1025. Kenny in Hendersonville, first up on Morning Drive. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing
good.
Good. Two things quickly. One, I always feel with the Titans, and especially with Marcus Mariota, there's obviously the group of anti-Mariota, fans, and then the pro-Mariota fans. I get it. Happens in a lot of cities. My look at Mariota is simply this. When your quarterback's best game as a pro was his first game as a pro, and you're 5 years into it, I think there's a problem, and that needs to be addressed. And you got to stop with the, he's a nice guy. I get he's a nice guy. I almost wish he was a jerk, because I think if he was a jerk, we'd be quicker.
Yeah, but Mariota.
I wanted to ask him what he thought Mariota did wrong yesterday.
I mean, Mariota's the least of anybody's concerns at this point. Yeah. But, like, the reality is, and also, I mean, I would say Mariota's best game was that come-from-behind playoff-winning Kansas City 2 years ago.
Yeah, he threw for, like, 190 yards in his first game. I know he threw a bunch of touchdowns, but, like, he's had far better games than that. I literally do not want to talk about the quarterback today.
No, like, he's not even on my mind today, honestly.
If you want to list things that cost the Titans the game yesterday, you're going to get to 7 or 8 or 9 of them before you get to the quarterback.
I agree, and I'm done with him.
He was not a negative on this team yesterday. He's one of the few positives.
He should not be in anybody's crosshairs today.
No, and again, I think Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, like, again, he said he learned from the mistake against Atlanta by not kicking the field goal to go up 3 scores. He made this mistake against Jacksonville on the 10-yard line to not take a field goal. In the third quarter, on the first drive of the third quarter, he's chasing points. what was it, 6.5 minutes to go yesterday, and he's down by seven, mm-hmm. and you're kicking a 53-yard field goal when the statistics show that your offense is likely to pick up the first down on 75% of the time that they run the play. What was it, 4th and 4?
With the kicker already 0-for-3. And you're down 14, so even if you make it, you still need a touchdown to win the game.
I am that one again, just like I don't. You just stop and you go, what are you thinking?
I mean, at this point, the last 3 weeks, I mean, Vrabel needs to be in the protocol. I mean, he's coaching like he's concussed. 615-737-1025. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. Let's get into the head coach a little bit. And then also, you're going to hear from the tight end who had some things to say about the kicker, although the tight end had a drop yesterday that also cost this team. We're back after this here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
I feel bad for him, man, you know. When you miss them kicks, it's tough, but I think they pay them a lot of money to make them kicks. So at the end of the day, it's what it comes down to. I feel bad for him, man, you know.
That was Titans tight end Delaney Walker. He feels bad for Cairo Santos. I don't. I would cut his ass. He'd be gone. He's out. Somebody's got to go today, guys. I'm telling you, if you don't fire the offensive line coach, then you need to fire the kicker. You need to send a message that this is unacceptable.
No, you got a point. And Delaney, it was mild by Delaney, but I guarantee you that Delaney was in the car, just like a lot of other guys. I guarantee you what they were saying was, you know, he has one damn job to do, and he can't make a freaking field goal. That's what they're saying in their cars. That's what they're saying to their wives. That's what they're saying to their parents. That's what they're saying to their friends. He has one job and one job only. Now, the block was different, okay? I give him that. But the rest of them, they're saying he only has one job. We're busting our ass on the field, and he has one job. It's to come on the field and kick a field goal. That's all. They pay you a lot of money to do a job. I don't want to hear this, oh, it's a pressure-packed situation. No, they've been doing this forever. It's not pressure-packed.
Well, they did sign him off the street. So
he's been a kicker in the NFL.
No, I know.
No, this theory they signed him off the street, no. He was a good kicker, I believe, in Kansas City one of the two.
He was a Chief.
He got cut.
Yeah. But this is not – you can say, well, he got him. There's a lot of players that when they get cut, they sit around that were good players.
I almost don't really blame him on the 53-yarder. The other three I do blame him for – I blame Vrabel for sending him out there for the 53-yarder.
Yeah, again, the 53-yarder I blame Vrabel on just because you need a touchdown to tie the game. So I don't like with 6 minutes to go against a great defense, how many more times are you going to get down into that territory? Again, on a situation where statistically this team is picking up that first down 75% of the time. That's, again, the number. That's courtesy of Calvin Smith. The number – if they run that play, if they're trying to pick up 3, 4, or 5 yards, they've had a success rate of 75% this season through 4 games. You're telling me the percentages of a 53-yard made field goal and then getting the ball and then scoring again is higher than a 75% chance of picking up the first down? You cannot tell me that's the case. So I blame Vrabel on that one. Again, we can cut Cairo Santos. That's fine. I'm not just... I mean, he missed 4 field goals. He's not a great kicker.
Did he miss field goals last week or the week before?
But he's not a good enough kicker to have been on a roster. So I don't really. This shouldn't be a surprise that the guy who was signed the week before the season started is not good. Like not a surprise.
I don't go with that theory because some guys get cut based upon, you know, their cap number's high. Or the guy, they're a good kicker or a good player, but the guy behind them is younger and he's good too. So you got to make a business decision. I don't look at it from that standpoint. I look at it from the standpoint, listen, this is your job. You've been doing this job a very long time, okay? So go out there. Y'all know how I feel about kickers. Go out there. You're sitting on the sideline warming up while everybody else is in the fire. They're busting their ass trying to get the ball down the field to score points. And it's up to you alone, to kick a field goal. Kick a field goal is to get us 3 points or an extra point. But here's the thing. Maybe, just maybe, Mike Vrabel thought, these damn pass catchers didn't drop 3 first downs already, so I might as well kick a field goal.
I'm telling
you, coaches, that's like... This is how they think, man.
I'm not saying you're wrong. That's still the wrong decision.
You do your job, and he does his job. Delaney Walker catch the ball on third down, okay?
Deion Lewis.
Humphreys kept the ball on third down. Deion Lewis catch the ball on third down, and you won't have these problems. If you're catching the ball, then Mike Vrabel don't think, like, maybe just one, like, they didn't drop too many third down passes. Let me kick a field goal. It all works together. So when you're pointing the finger at the kicker, which is rightfully so, you should be thinking, man, I should have caught that pass.
It's totally right. But, like, to go with a couple of drop passes and all my great offensive players versus the guy we signed off waivers who's already missed three field goals.
We're five games in. That waiver stuff don't even matter.
It doesn't matter. He sucks. And he missed three.
He doesn't suck. He was good. We were just praising him. The first game of the first two or three games of the season, we were praising the guys. We were praising the guy. And now he's missed four or five field goals. Now we say, you know, the guy needs to be cut.
down by seven with 6 minutes to go on fourth and four.
Nick, you
go
take
for
that
it.
Man's paycheck.
I do. The hell with Cairo Santos. Get off my football team. Life is too short for bad kickers. 0-4.
Done.
I mean, I was out of vodka. I had no options yesterday. 737-1025. Justin next on Morning Drive. What's up, Justin?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing? It's a little gloomy day out like it was yesterday at the game. I just got one, a 53-yard field goal. The guy had no confidence that he could hit any field goal yesterday, and you throw him out there. I was a little mad at Mike Vrabel. I got a question on in the first half about Marcus when he got that face mask that didn't get called. Could you not challenge that since we're in the business of challenging –
You can't challenge that. Now, if there was a pass interference on that particular play and it was challenged, then they could go back and look at everything that encompasses that play. So they would have looked at, they would have threw a flag, they would have threw a 15-yard flag on Buffalo for the face mask, and then whatever the challenge would have been pass interference-wise, they would have either overturned it or kept it, you know, it would have been upheld. But I think you can only look at plays like that when they're in a pass interference situation where they can go back and look at everything.
You know, we did Titans approval ratings, I think, maybe a week or two ago on the show, and we discussed the quarterback, the general manager, the head coach, and I said of those three, the head coach was the guy that I trusted the most. After a couple of really head-scratching, mind-boggling, numbing decisions, I mean, I think we need to have a legit conversation here on Mike Vrabel. I mean, I would still say I'm above 50% that I believe in Vrabel, but some of these decisions, the last 3 weeks, whether it's the 30 seconds on the clock with the Colts, the non-field goal to go up three scores 2 weeks ago, and yesterday's decision to kick a field goal from 53 down seven, I mean, what is the deal with the head coach right now?
Yeah, and that is fair. I have a far bigger issue. Like I almost – Cairo Santos to me is almost irrelevant now. Like, if they keep him, fine. If they move on, fine. I don't care. My issue is the decision-making process by the head coach in critical situations inside enemy territory with the game on the line. Like, that's what you're paid to do. You're obviously paid to do a lot of things, right? Manage egos and develop game plans and – scout and inspire. There's millions of things you're paid to do as a head coach, but one of them is to and I think it's kind of cut and dry. There are certainly occasional situations where it's a 50-50 decision, right? Do I go for it? Do I go for two? You know, do we punt here? There's a lot of situations where there's some instinct, and occasionally it's a 50-50 decision, and, you know, do I challenge a pass interference? 50-50 decision. Those are different. Those are tougher calls. There are obvious decisions when it comes to clock management, when it comes to score, when it comes to other situations that have presented themselves that have, in my opinion, been completely black or white, and you have just blatantly been wrong, not because of the outcome, but because of the decision and the percentages leading up to that decision. If you are up by two touchdowns with 12 minutes to go in a game and you're on the 10-yard line, you kick a field goal to go up three scores, and when you say we're playing to win the game, kicking the field goal is playing to win the game. When it is the third quarter, on the first drive of the third quarter, and your offense goes right down the field in a 14-0 game, in the third quarter, you and the 10-yard line on fourth and six, you take the field goal to cut it to an 11-point game. Yesterday, when you're down seven with 6 minutes to go on a short fourth down, you don't kick a 53-yard field goal when your kicker has missed three field goals. They are terrible decisions, and it is the first time in over a year that we've looked at Mike Vrabel and said, those are not good decisions.
615-737-1025, the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. Your thoughts, Titans fans, 737-1025. 1025, if you even care at this point anymore, because we're now at a point where it's back and forth every week with this team. You heard Taylor Lewan say it. You know, we lose a game we shouldn't, we win a game we shouldn't, and we give it right back, and then we do this and we do that. Most Jekyll and Hyde franchise I've seen in a long time, Mace.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, you almost want it to be one way. Either you're really good or you're really bad. So at least when we walk in the stadium, we know. You don't know what you're going to get.
Who's walking in the stadium?
Yeah, name, Bill fans. but you don't know what you're going to get. And that's the disappointing part about it. Because, again, do they have some good players? Absolutely. They have good players on this team. But these good players don't consistently play the way they need to be playing. You know, and they allow, you know, a guy that was in protocol all week to make plays and win the Buffalo Bills the game. And then they all allowed a defensive line to just basically, they basically just manhandled the offensive line. They came in and took their lunch, sat down and ate it in front of them.
And it wasn't even like coverage sacks either. There were no coverage sacks. It was Roger Saffold.
Even though they did play good coverage. And that's another thing that I want to get to a little bit later. But the receivers and the coverage, there's just something really, really strange about that whole thing.
But when Roger Saffold gets beat on the first step, like, I'm not talking about, like, okay, you forced him to pass block for 3.5 seconds and that's unreasonable. Like, forcing a guy to cover a receiver for 3.5 seconds, that's unreasonable. No, when Lorenzo Alexander takes one step and spins around you and jumps on your quarterback in less than a second, I'm sorry, you've failed as an offensive lineman. And he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of them like that.
7371025, your Titans calls. Back after this on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Nick Braden, D-Mace Marquise, trying to make sense of another Titans agonizing defeat yesterday, 737-1025. The number, Corey Curtis will join us coming up at the top of the hour from News 2. Right now, your phone calls. We welcome in Kenny the Mailman, who's here to deliver on a Monday. What's up, Kenny?
Fellas, how y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Let me tell you a story that might make your blood boil, but y'all were talking earlier about all the Buffalo fans at the game and how upset it is not to have a lot of Titans fans there.
Yep.
This is a Titans fan. When I go, I don't sell my tickets. We jump up and down, stay the whole game. I went to the ticket office to buy the 5-ticket plan for me and my whole family to give good Titans fans there to cheer, and they wouldn't sell me tickets. You know why?
No.
I don't have an iPhone, and they explained they are not printing tickets out anymore. That for my safety and security, I had to have an iPhone to buy tickets. And I said, well, I spoke to 3 different salesmen. This wasn't just a mistake. And they said, well, if I want to buy tickets, go buy an iPhone and come back. And
yeah, you know what's funny is I have a friend who works in the New York media, and he is a Jets fan. And at MetLife Stadium for the Jets and the Giants, they no longer print paper tickets. You have to have them electronically, either showing through with an email on your smartphone where they scan the barcode, or you have an app. I don't know if the Titans, if that story is true from Kenny the Mailman, and that's the only way you can get in, but if it is, I mean, I'm sorry, not everybody has an iPhone or a Galaxy.
Yeah.
What if you have a Nokia flip phone?
Well, I want to say 75% of Americans have smartphones, so there's still a large chunk that do not.
Yeah, but you got to have a mechanism in place where for those that don't have smartphones or for some that don't like bringing their phones with them, they just leave them at home or leave them in a car because they want to have the experience of just being at the game. You got to have a way where they can still purchase a ticket. I mean, anything can happen. The computers can crash, the phone can crash, anything can happen. And if you don't have a mechanism in place where, you know, these individuals can still buy a ticket and get in the game, then shame on you. I don't know if that is indeed the case or whatnot. That's not my expertise, no way, no how. But if what he's saying is true, Kenny, what he's saying is true, then, you know, shame on, you know, whoever is in control of the ticket thing, because there should be something in place where if a fan wants to buy a ticket at the box office, they should be able to buy a ticket.
Yeah, and I got to believe with, like, you know, people scalping tickets and selling them outside the stadium, there's got to be still paper tickets that are given out.
You're right. You got a point there.
To me, that's a, and I, this is one of those situations where you need to have somebody on the ground that's going to solve a problem.
Exactly, in the moment
and just say, listen, you are standing here with an ID at our ticket window, buying a ticket from us. What's the harm in me selling you this? Like, especially if he's about to walk into the stadium, mm-hmm. right? At some point, there has to be a mechanism in place because, again, while smartphones are we do feel like they're everywhere, and they are largely everywhere, mm-hmm. I want to say there's still, again, I'll check the numbers, don't quote me on this. I want to say it's between 20 and 25% of Americans that still do not have smartphones. So there's still plenty of people that don't have it, and that's a large chunk of the population. And if they want to go to football games or sporting events, they need to be able to go to games, especially if they're going to pay their money and go to a game.
737-1025. Tyrikus is next on Morning Drive. What's going on, Tyrikus?
Yo, what's up? I mean, I'm sorry. How you guys doing? First off, everybody know me. I'm Tyrikus. I'm the guy that was talking about Marcus Mariota trading for a block of cheese. Okay, I'm not big on Marcus Mariota, but I got to say, Sunday, Marcus Mariota didn't lose the game for us. I mean, to be honest, he managed that game like he does every other game. My thing is the coaching. Our coach is very dangerous, man. I think this guy can lose us any game. Like, this is what I'm saying. After the first missed field goal, we blame the field goal kicker. After the second missed field goal, we blame the field goal kicker. After the third missed field goal, we like, After the fourth field goal, we like, all right, man, come on. You got to – because my thing is, wasn't the fourth field goal farther than all the field goals that he tried to kick at
yes.
first?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you're spot on, Tyreek. It's on the coach at that point.
Yeah.
Can't send him out.
I think the coach, just like he did with Jackson, when Jackson fumbled the ball – after he had made a few mistakes before then, he fumbled the ball. He said, I'm just going to put Humphreys back there. And at least I'm going to get somebody that can catch the football.
And what happened? and even that screwed up.
And he can't even field a punt.
I know.
I mean, the fumble wasn't his fault. That was not his fault.
The guy that got pushed into him?
Yeah, that was not Humphreys' fault. True. Now, Humphreys can say, pull, what we usually say if there's a fair catch and the punt a little short, you scream pull, so everyone knows to kind of back up. I call a fair catch, so get out the way. He could have yelled that. He probably did yell it, but it's up to the blocker then to hear and know what's going on. That is no way, no how, to me, Humphrey's fault. It's the blocker's fault. Like, dude, you got to know what's going on. You got to hear if he is indeed making a call. Now, if Humphrey's didn't make the call, then okay, that's a different problem. But if Humphreys made the call, then it's up to the blocker to hear it and pull off. And he didn't. So I don't blame Humphreys for that at all. It's the guy that was getting, you know, pushed back into him like he was on skates. That's just how the offensive line was blocking yesterday, like they were on skates. But that's, again, it's a whole different problem. But, I mean.
But to the larger extent with the special teams, though. The one third of your football team is a major liability. They can't return punts. They can't catch punts. They can't make field goals. You know, it's a third of the game, and they stink on special teams.
And they have the best kicker, the best punter, maybe in the entire punter. NFL.
Right?
And listen, this is one of those where we saw the suck up injury and the knee surgery news, and we were all like, oh, okay, it's not going to be an issue. I'm not going to pay attention to it. It's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. And then he's not really kicking in the preseason. He attempts like one or two field goals, and then all of a sudden you're kind of going, "Wait, hang on, wait a second." What? And then they sign a guy off the streets in the week one. You're going, "Oh, okay, this isn't." And now you look up and you're 0-4 in a game where you lose by one score. You know, again, I just checked the numbers. Six of the last six possessions, Marcus and the offense got inside the Bills' 35-yard line. Four of their final six possessions, they were inside the Bills' 35-yard line. Three missed field goals.
So for six straight possessions, worst-case scenario, you have a 52-yard field goal for six straight possessions, and you came away with 0 points?
Yeah, and the bigger problem is the missed field goals from, like, the Buffalo 13 and the Buffalo 15.
Which is an extra point.
You're talking about extra points that should have been made there. And if that happens, it's 14-13. Yeah. On the final possession. And again, and at that point, you know, then the field goal actually does make sense for Vrabel to kick the 53-yarder because he would have had a chance to win the game. But you didn't because, again, the offense could not – again, pass catchers, coaching decisions, field goals, offensive line. That quartet right there is where I look at yesterday and I go, You got to eliminate those mistakes. If you expect to compete for a wild card, which again, they're only one game back, you've got to correct those mistakes. It is correctable moving forward. I don't know how you fix the field goal thing. I don't know if you can fix the offensive line thing. I don't know how you do that. Lawan will certainly get better as he gets back into game shape, but I don't know how you cut Santos and go sign another guy off the street? I mean, that's not going to be – how do we know that's going to be any better? I guess you just take chances on kickers and hope you find a guy who's really good. I don't know.
Nashville SC's offering, guys.
Yeah, you keep Santos in until Suckup comes back. That's what you do, and you hope you're not in a position where you got to kick those field goals again. But, listen, if you don't want to kick a kicking field goal, then you score a touchdown. That's basically what it comes to. You had an opportunity to score touchdowns. You cross the line. You have penalties. Those things kill you in games like that. You got to score when you have opportunities to score. Touchdowns. And the Titans had several opportunities to score touchdowns, and when they got in the red zone, they just kind of froze up.
The Bills had four trips inside the Titans' 40-yard line. Three trips inside the Titans' 40-yard line. They had 10 possessions yesterday, and three times they got inside the Titans' 40-yard line. Twice they scored touchdowns. The Titans missed almost all of their opportunities in those situations.
We will kick off hour number two with our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2. That's coming up next, and then we'll get back to your calls, 737-1025. Hour two of Morning Drive coming up next.